Kindergarten. Saturdays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Revolution Radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Okay, a little minor delay there that time. I've been sitting here a while, kind of stopping the Google install. I was trying to fix my mouse, typing to somebody that I typed to that didn't go through. I had to go start it again. Which caused me to run out of time. So, damn Skype and everything again. Anyway, welcome back to another Saturday night, 10 to midnight show of Argon. And, I am the dreamer, but this is Argon on Revolution Radio at revolution.radio. And then we have the chat, free archives, a bunch of things to buy. We have the banner ads instead of having commercials. We're trying to save free speech, do something different, much better, much broader, and have basically only listener support and no commercials. So check out the banner ads. People pay money to have them put in there. So while you're listening, you just look at them. Click on them, save them for later. Maybe buy something now, maybe whenever you get the money, whatever. But we're a donation station primarily, so try to donate and then check out the banner ads and then check out our shop and things like that. But there's all kinds of ways to donate. Donations are down, and we do not want to become the largest listener commercial station. Okay, we don't want commercialism, not exactly. I'm sure there's a bunch of things we could sell that a lot of you would particularly like that are not mainstream generally and things we would consider healthy. And but still, a lot of companies that run those places still have like some lefty ideals out of the blue. They still, some are still controlling. None of them are perfect. Just because they sell a great product that's mostly suppressed by doctors or whatever. And a lot of those are still normal people. And a lot of those companies that we want to buy things from that are very frowned on by, you know, hospitals and stuff, drug companies. They are the drug companies. Okay, they get you both ways. You see what I'm saying? And that's what they are intending on doing. And in the end, they plan on sabotaging everybody anyway. They already do. In other words, anyone they want to target, if you buy a computer, you order something online, they intercept it in the middle, load it up, tap into it, make the alterations, bam, send it on its way, and you get it. That's what they're going to do to all your pills, all your drugs, all your health products. All your health products. You know who they're going to focus on? They're going to focus on you. Because that's all they have to worry about. Everybody else is in on the program. It's going to go right along with it. They're already going to make money from all those lefties. They already took the shots. They're going to take more. They already wore the masks. They already got those little clamper squeezy things, little hook things digging into them, thermo, whatever you call them, in their noses and everything, making it so that things break into the blood-brain barrier, nasal passage area. All kinds of stuff. Thermal grippers. Oh, man. Anyway, this is Studio B. I'm pretty sure it's Saturday night. I should be on. Hopefully I didn't bump anybody. It was kind of a hard, rough day. I'm going to see if Mario wants to come on. I know he's around. And let me see. Oh, wait. Oh, I left the draft. And, oh, yeah, he'll be listening. And let me see. I basically told him if you wanted to pop on last Sunday to finish up more from last Saturday, he can. I might have mentioned this Saturday too, but I'm not sure. But I probably did somewhere in there. But nothing was set because I just finally get back on the internet now. And he didn't see that message till after Sunday. So if he wants to pop on, he can. I had some notes I was intending on writing specific keywords down, topics, when I finally was able to get up today, which was a great day. It would have been perfect to do a ton of good things. I did some important things, but I finished up, wrapped up some really important things kind of yesterday. But still, I'm way behind. There's too many things to do, too many interruptions, too many problems trying to get to sleep sometimes. And My uncaught rat, I'm not positive he's alive. It seems like he is, but he stopped sleeping in the bag pile and alongside of me because it got too hot. And then he started drifting away. My neighbor might have killed him. My neighbor started killing all the rats like 30 feet away from me. And some was poisoned, some were shot, and some were given something that just makes them not want to eat anymore, like makes them feel sick. They don't want to eat from that place anymore. It doesn't kill them. It just makes them feel sick and full, and it makes them go away. So I can't tell if I have new mice or if I still have the same rat, but he's now in the place I don't want him to be. Definitely in the real bad place, the primary exact place I don't want him to be in for sure, to chewing into my artwork and notes and stuff. But right near, kind of in that area, where used to be a lot of hollow spaces. I can't tell anymore. I hear him chewing. I heard him chewing. I had to get up out of bed, barefoot and everything. I have to kind of bang him around. And it just screws up your night. It takes a long time to fall back asleep. You're kind of listening. He kind of keeps going back over there. I want him back in his damn bag pile. It's just a pile of bags that are you can't really use because there's a lot of holes in them. They're just for stuffing things for packing. That's it. That's all they're for. And it's basically nothing important in there. And then like a bag of like plastic Tupperware kind of things, half of which are broken now. So it's like just doesn't matter. And he hasn't gone back there, but it stresses you out. I'm stressed out. I've just finding more damaged things from my past. Some, a lot of names and phone numbers, not all of which are that important, but still, it's all connection to my past. It's all a timeline I'm trying to rebuild. And some were definitely tied to my projects. And one was a kind of a homemade copyright. Now you draw everything out, you write your name and who you are and all that, and draw your idea, what write out what it does and sizes and shape and stuff. And concept and things like that, and you fold it up, put it in a regular envelope, and you mail it to yourself, and you have them stamp. You seal it, though. You take some, you get some tape, which probably should be like regular tape, and then like that brown tape, the brown box tape, probably from, maybe from the post office, and you wrap it up in two different directions at least, and you make sure they stamp it. Now you mail it to yourself. It's from you to you. The only thing you really care about is that it's officially, authentically date stamped, because you put a new stamp on it and then they stamped that stamp over the stamp, which goes over the envelope seals and over the tape, but over the edges of the tape where the tape crisscrosses over each other. So it's sort of, you make a cross and you make it all overlap where you fold the envelope shut, and you put the stamps. It doesn't matter. You can just have them stamp it. They were arguing with me at different times about what they could or couldn't do, what they were used to or didn't know. And like I know the law. It's been the law ever since it existed, a couple hundred years or whatever. And it doesn't matter. It's a court-sealed document, because all they need to know is that it's yours and it's yours, okay? But really not just that. Really, it's an official government militarized stamped sealed. They get the date on it. It's official date stamped. It's official. It's yours. You own it. It went to you. You sent it to you, but you don't really have to send it to you. You just have to get them to stamp it. You just pay for the stamp. Look, they know who you are. Here I am. It goes to me. I've done this before. Put it on the counter. Here's my name. I wrote it. And I don't have to mail it to anybody. I don't have to mail it to myself. I can mail it to anybody I want. And I can pay for it. That doesn't have to get mailed. They sometimes argue that we have to hand deliver it. No, you don't. You're right here. It's official either way. It's an official stamp. It comes down to this for those who don't know. They do not have to mail it. Mailmen, mailwomen, and clerks, and the general and everybody else, you do not have to actually take it from my hand, put it in your stacks, put it in the truck, and deliver it to the home. The proof is not about that you delivered. No one's trying to prove you delivered something that you promised to deliver. We only need the date on it by you. We just need to pay for the stamp to do it and for you to stamp it. We just saved you time by not delivering. If I go to the post office, which I lived on the same street, up the street, 2-minute walk. Hell, it might have been 1 minute. Walk in. Here's my envelope. I'm going to wrap it in front of you. And plus, they knew me anyway before. I knew my mailmen too anyway. I mean, personally, like we'd hang out and go get pizza together and go to the home and hang out with the ex-girlfriend and the kids, okay? So it didn't matter. I mean, but that's not where I got it stamped. Some I had mailed to my house. See, what am I getting at? It's supposed to be officially sealed. That way someday when you go to write a book and you go to make a product, go to try to sell it, and someone steals it, because you know they're going to. You know the government will, and the people who run the government are going to steal it. It's official. They have to steal it. They actually have to. They can't not steal it. It's not like it might get stolen. It'll get stolen, and it doesn't really matter. They already invented everything, but you want to prove that when you try to go sell any paperwork on it, any book on it, go to any event, be a speaker, make any kind of product, be it just an art version or a promo version. It doesn't have to work. It just has to be based on a certain principle you wrote down. It doesn't even have to work at all. You could just say, this is my design. I mean, I don't know if it'll work. I'm going to build it new. And it'll have magnets in it. And it'll be shaped like a wheel. And that's what it will look like. It'll have some wood. Some will be plastic. And some will have glass. Oh, good. Done. I'll sell them. I don't have to claim it does anything. This is just what I want to put together and sell to people if they want it. Yeah, hell, I'll make it a kit for them. It doesn't make any difference. This is my idea. And it proves I, Bill Grant, had this idea. I wrote it down. I had the idea 20-something years ago. See, the point is, when you go to sell it, someone's going to try to claim, prove it. You stole it from me. You got it off the internet. No, I didn't. It's 25 years old. Look. This is me. It's officially me. And this is the official government militarized date stamp. And it is unopened. It has never been opened. Since that stamp has been on there, this envelope has been closed. That stamp is overlapping the envelope and the tape and the other strip of tape. It could never have been opened without damaging all of that. It's officially that old, and it's officially to me. I am officially this person. Here's my ID. That's where I live. Here's my pictures. Here I am. Look, right in front of you. Okay, so... who thought of it first? I did. Okay, so you show it to a judge, he's going to have to say, no, this is official. It can't be argued. It's not arguable. It's not a matter of belief. The problem is all this damn damage and all this freaking delay, and more things getting damaged, or more things that got wet a while ago that I've been slowly getting to the bottom of some of the wet things. Some of the wet things were not ever gotten to. In the same, there's not a new tote. I mean, other than the recent wetting one, the recycling bin with the hole in the bottom, there's not another new broken into tote. There's just some of the not too long ago found ones that I've been slowly working on. I already, for the most part, fixed most or all of the tote covers. That's not the issue. The issue is, some of those were severely damaged, and I had to take a lot of stuff out. And I never finished taking all the stuff out. I never finished drying it all, and some were completely full. And then I found some really stressful. One little flip movie I made when I was like 13. And it might have been a little later. It might have been when I was 20. I don't know, 18 or something. That one I'm not positive about. The things are sealed and they're still like soaking wet. Some of them, some of the old cheap bags or just regular baggies, some of them. And some protected somewhat, but a lot of it rotted, full of ants, full of ant eggs. I got back to one of the totes. I finally started moving them all. Got the wetting stuff is starting to dry. I mean, it's damaged just almost beyond recognition, a lot of it. But it's really stressful. And man, one thing with termites in it destroyed a book, the other thing destroyed by worms, and others completely rotted mold, totally rotted mold and steamed. The copyright thing, just gets straight to the point, is the tape was unraveled. It got steamed. The tape unraveled. It's no longer legal. I'm really sick of this. Now I have all the things. I don't have too many copyrights or patents. It might have compromised the main invention. I can't prove that's when I put it in there. It might not be fully compromised. I'm not positive yet. But it was in a bag, and the water got in with the bag, and just heating up the bag made it even worse. It made all the water come out and really get to the tape, which is already moist, very moist, like not soaking wet, but it kind of was soaking. It was like a mild soaking. And that copyright's ruined. I'm pretty sure it was from like, I don't know when it was from. I forgot to bring it in. It's kind of flattened now. The tape was unraveled. The official date is irrelevant. for all the world, it looks like I could have unwrapped it yesterday. Hell, 5 years from now, if I go to sell something and someone claims I stole it from them, and then I try to prove that it was me, they're like, you can't prove this. You could have just put this in yesterday. Tape has been opened. Doesn't matter what the date says. Doesn't matter what the stamp says. It's been opened. Could have wrote it yesterday after you stole it off the net over the last 2 years. You can't let them open ever. They're to be sealed forever, for all time, for all eternity. Okay, make your own inventions, your own copyrights, your own poems, your own music, and all that kind of stuff. And it's official. A lot of people don't know that. A friend of mine told me when I was like 13, and I've remembered ever since. Patents, the patent process is completely compromised. Plus, it's very prohibitive, cost prohibitive, as everything is that's important. And it ends up not mattering one single bit. Anyway, Mario, you can come on anytime. I went to go type that to you, but the damn thing didn't go in. I know you might be busy. I know you kind of, if you didn't plan on it, you might have be doing a bunch of things on and off intermittently, of course. Anyway, a little update on Vinny. Wait, let me type that to him. Let me see. I typed a couple things to him, matter of fact. They didn't go. One went in. Okay. And let me see. I'll just tell him if he wants to pop in. Second. Something to say. Not necessarily to do the show if you don't have time. If you want to make a comment or add something, and then just pop right back out, that's no problem as well. I was going to add a little bit more about Bigfoot. I meant to add last time, and maybe a little bit more about the alien upcoming stuff, or ask Mari about what he was thinking about his, the crashed alien saucer thing. Can't remember if he already answered that or not. Exactly. But remember what I said, that recent crashed saucer video on security cam and infrared or whatever involving the cops coming and a giant 8-foot alien stumbling around into the 8-foot wall or something. It's fake. And it's got a tail. See, I wanted to point out again that it has a tail. It's like a, it's not like a long curly thing. It's like a short, sharp one. Not very short, but it's not long. It's not even medium length, I don't think. It's just kind of less than that, but it's not a stub, though, either. Kind of seemed pointy. I didn't see it too clearly anyway. I didn't have a lot of time to go over it. Anyway, but the update. Oh, wait, let me see if I wrote that right. Hold on. Okay. Vinny. Update for Vinny Eastwood. Oh, okay, so October 10th is verdict day, V-Day. Thank you, Vinny, and I'll update everybody. Put a check on that. I won't put a thumbs up. I'm just going to put a check. All right, here we go. And that way it doesn't mean it will be emphasizing a bad verdict. Anyway, don't forget, Solaris Blue Raven coming up after me, but on Studio A. She had a great show last time as well. And, oh, okay, Mario's going to come on. All right, cool. And that's about all I needed to say. I'm really distressed. I'm not exactly sure how compromised my envelope is, my copyright / personal patent. You can patent anything. A patent doesn't mean you got every single angle and everything perfect or proper. It doesn't necessarily have to be like that. They got everything rigged anyway, because anything you do, they'll just make a slight change and they'll call it their own. And or they'll make a deal with somebody overseas, out of state, on the opposite side of the country, on a different continent, and on another island. And they'll make an update, or they'll make it better. And they'll make it cheaper if it's just about the same. And they'll outdo you no matter what, and they'll hide you, and they'll buy you out. And if it's too good, they will give you a gag order from the government. Absolutely, by 100% at gunpoint force to shut you down if it's too good in any kind of way for any kind of reason at all. If it boosts the economy too much, it'll destabilize our money system balance and our deals we made with all the countries like Saudi Arabia and China and everything, which is illegal because you can't go against the plans the government made with other governments now. So you have to go by their allyship and United Nations plan. Okay. All right, cool. Let me give him a check. So it doesn't matter if you invent anything good, the government will take it, and they'll even take you. And if it's really, really, really detailed, super good, and ultra powerful, they'll just take you physically by force, and they'll kind of do some kind of experiment on you one way or the other, okay, on your brain. What they really like, what they really wanted for many years, why some people disappeared, they're not working for the government. The government's working on them. The government's playing with their brains, physically, surgically, and electrically, playing with their brains. They're in a think tank. Got it? They're in a think tank. All right, I'm trying to find out where's my connection here. Let me get rid of that and add Mario. And finally popped up. Kind of hesitated, but it's a little quicker this time. Here we go. Cool. And oh damn, wait a minute. I think Keith was supposed to come on tonight. He doesn't look like he's on. I'll have to ask him after I get my, he's not online though. Nope. I was supposed to remind him if I was able to during the week. But it'll be cool. I think Keith will be fine with Mario. Alright, let me see, I'm adding him now. I kind of forgot my week has been kind of stressed. Pretty good weather, but I was not able to get use out of most of the good weather. So that's what's so stressful. And then the bad weather comes back, and then those days will be fully available. And I think, Mario, I think we have Mario.
Hang on. I got 18 different things ringing on my end. Hang on a second.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep, no problem.
There's that, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and it's just... I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you good. Sound good.
We are 5x5, sir. Keith is supposed to be on?
I think the last thing me and Keith said is like, yeah, come on next Saturday if you want, but he's not online. But if he wants to come on later, I think you guys would get along. But if you really were kind of low on time but kind of wanted to pop in and...
Listen, William, I have all the time for you on this Saturday evening.
Cool, yeah. Because, I like talking with you, and you're down to earth and you're intelligent. And you're open-minded. You
know? I'm two-thirds of those. So you figure out which one-third isn't accurate.
Oh yeah, it'll be. I'll put it on the spinner. I'll spin the dial and see what it says.
You know who I really want to talk to on Revolution Radio?
Oh, who's that?
Jim Fetzer. And here's the reason why. He probably has no idea this ever occurred. But I attended the University of Minnesota Duluth when Jim Fetzer was professing there in the philosophy department. And I heard so many rumors about how difficult of a professor he was that I purposely chose to never take any class he offered.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
However, after listening to numerous raw deal shows by him and listening to numerous false flag episodes and JFK stuff and what have you while doing yard work just to pass the time, I've always wanted to have a conversation with him, but he's a busy man, so that's really all I had to say.
I might be able to get him to go on your show. I've had Jim on my show. He would have come on again, but everything was so up in the air with me on and off for about a year and a half now. And he is pretty busy, and he's kind of getting up there in age.
He's a busy guy. And I'm afraid I would anger him because I really want to focus on what appears or appeared at one point to be a huge divide between he and one of the other JFK researchers that I tend to listen to and have listened to quite a bit, James DiGenio, that I think Fetzer just – I don't know if Fetzer doesn't like him, or if I don't know what the deal is there. But I've tried to sort of ask a number of questions in a roundabout way for Fetzer, specifically when it comes, you know, close to the JFK assassination anniversary. And I'm not saying he avoids the questions, but I never get what I consider clear-cut answers, because he normally gives very well thought out, very detailed answers to questions. And for whatever reason, I'm of the opinion that he doesn't do that so much with James DiGenio, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But you know, it is what it is. Anyway, what's new in your world? Have you moved the stuff? Are you still in the carport? What's going on, William Grant? Talk to us.
Oh, I'll be in the carport for a while. I moved some of the main, not the main stuff, but I mean, I finally got a row. There was a section. There was a section in front of another section, another two sections, actually three. But I've been like trying to work them down, and so I could merge them with the other section in a row. I had to get bad stuff out. I had to repair all the covers. I finally, for the most part, repaired all that I could, and then took out all that I could and dried most of everything. And everything was just about finished until I just recently found a completely full of water wedding album thing. I've been repairing a ton of stuff, and I still ended up finally turning all that bunch of little piles into kind of a row, just a double stack row up against, merged with the future to be one big pile. And now it looks much better. And it's much closer to me finally moving the other destroyed tent stuff over, which means I'll be very close to finally putting up the other tent, which means I'll be finally ready to put stuff that are in the carport out of the carport into that new tent. And then from there, I can finally start writing a whole bunch of letters and preparing any hikes or trips or travels, if I can get out of here and communicate with people. And then I'll find out a whole lot more. If I have internet in there, then I'll be able to maybe sell some of the stuff, a little bit of the stuff, to make some money to actually help some more. So that's kind of, it's a very slow process. Everything is in the way of everything else, but the damage is what really severely slowed everything down. And like, there's a lot of interruptions, and like I can't do anything on any rain days or any high wind days. And, so those are down, and like, it's just the timing is all screwed up. I didn't mean to make that a long answer, but I like Jim. Jim is an evolution, you know, basically a Darwinian evolutionist one way or the other. There's a bunch of types. I wonder what he would say about cryptoids and stuff like you asked me. And I don't know what he thinks about Bigfoot. I probably only talked about that one time. And I forgot if we brought up that alien crash. I think you had to look it up, the kind of recent one, maybe in Colorado or something.
The last alien news that I remember is apparently the over the summer, the video from Las Vegas. But I heard you talking about something with a tail, and it was a hoax. What did I miss?
Yeah, like a lot of people were saying, no, this is the real thing. This is real. I'm like, no, it's not real. It's basically, the only thing I saw was a short video with the stumbling around alien sort of leaning into the corner of the yard, of somebody's yard, like They had a tall fence. It was specifically a very high fence. It was sort of near the corner, and comparing the alien to, it's like a tall, it almost looks like Pumpkinhead, kind of a Pumpkinhead-ish kind of look. Not as evil looking or monstrous, but it almost does look a little monstrous. Like, it kind of has claws, it seemed to me. And it's in like infrared, right? So it's like nighttime, and supposedly the story is the police came and everything, the people were like scared, and there was a UFO, and it was officially this or that, and then they covered up part of it or hid part of the videotape supposedly, and the police were confused or thinking it might be real themselves. The thing is, they compared the height of the alien to the fence, because they know what kind of fence it is and how high it is and everything. And somebody said it was about 8 feet tall. The alien would have had to be 7 or 8 feet tall or something like that. But I looked at it pretty quick. I didn't go into too much detail, but I saw it when it was stumbling around. It was like, it's kind of falling over, kind of like stumbling, like it banged its head, you know, and it kind of falls back into the fence or something and tries to get back up or, and anyway, I seen like a sharp tail. And for the most part, I mean, everything exists. I say everything you can imagine does exist as a fact somewhere in the universe and time and space or whatever. And they could have made it genetically. They could have 3D printed it. It could be a robot. It could be anything. I know all programs exist, but it still looks CGI to me. And aliens don't have tails. The majority of any aliens anyone has ever talked about that are space traveling don't have tails, except for some of the like reptilians. And you know, it was sort of like a tall gray, kind of a monstrous looking gray. So they could have went with the grays. Everybody talks about the grays for eons. And then they finally added a few other things. And now the crash that they're building up the alien false flag, the bad alien, is not a gray. What a coincidence. They're not blaming the people they're already allies with. Or maybe they will later, but they'll say, no, you're right, that was a fake. But this one, look, it's indisputable. So I kind of figured, I wasn't sure if you said you were going to look it up and then we're going to talk about it maybe another time. But I guess not. So some people, I only know because of people in chat myself. That's why I was able to look at it like, I don't know, like a month ago or something.
And, you know, if I said something, I'm sorry, I forgot it. You know, look, let's just break it down here. It seems to me that the UAP UFO folks always seem to move the goalpost when it comes to aliens. That's my first mm-hmm. thought. The second right. thought I have is, I mean, aliens seem a bit, I don't know if it's ageist or nativist or whatist it is, but they only seem to make themselves available to certain people at certain times. And anybody who has any level of, I don't know, street smarts, common sense, you know, emotional intelligence, never seems to experience an alien visitation or witness an alien craft or witness an alien in their backyard. I mean, there was that video recently that went viral about the woman who was on the plane who freaked out because apparently the dude in the back was a lizard person or an alien. And then she was removed from the plane. And then unfortunately somebody released her information. So, you know, she was harassed and I don't know if she lost her job or was fired from her job, whatever the situation is. But I said a lot to say this. I'm still waiting, probably like you, for somebody to come forward with high resolution, verifiable, authenticated by not one, not two, not three, but at least four independent agencies to say, you know what? This is authentic. This video is authentic. Although we can't tell you what's in the video, we can tell you that the video is 100% authentic. Nothing is AI generated. Nothing is CGI'd. It's all real. And I'm waiting for that video.
Well, you know, at this point, I wouldn't believe any of the agencies at all. Like almost any number of them. I think that's what they're counting on. Like, they're counting on the fact that they're all planning on agreeing at a later date when they want us to go to, when they want all the money for the super weapons. And then they're going to say, oh yeah, we, you know, what do they call the, you know how they've been testing the new sort of anti-gravity mystery, slightly moving satellite thing with the radio waves in inside of the sort of a microwave cavity. Do you know what I'm talking about? This, they put up some satellites, oh, go ahead.
All I know is that they launched a rocket two, 3 days ago that had double-digit satellites in it, and I have no idea what these satellites. I don't know what anything does anymore. I don't mean to be facetious. I literally have no idea what anything does anymore.
Yeah, I don't pay attention. I'm not even able to, and I don't even care anymore. It's like I already know where it's all going. People did not take control or take responsibility for keeping track of everything, inventing anything themselves, doing anything themselves, verifying anything, like just cutting funding or adding, like they just let them run away with whatever they say is, you know, what you get.
And, you know, you're right. You said something very interesting. What was the last great invention? And you know what? As soon as I ask the question, I'm probably going to be able to answer it. So just forgive me. What was the last great invention by the human race? I mean, really, something that was just, you know, a game changer.
There were none. There were none other than the only thing. It's not an invention that was the game changer. It was a few discoveries and only the discoveries. And those led to some of the rest of the inventions. Other than that, forget it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like five people in all of the entire history of, like, the human race and discovered anything significant. Everybody else is a copycat. And then just gradual inventions, you know, mechanical stuff mostly. And and things that are unverifiable, at least publicly now. And doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what the top 10 list is, but I guess I would put in there perhaps, you know, things such as the wheel, penicillin comes to mind, maybe the light bulb, perhaps the telephone, the, you know, internal combustion engine. I think that's probably up there. I don't know where it ranks in 1 through 10, but it's, you know, it's a top 10 invention probably. You know, I don't know. Women might say that contraceptives are were a game changer. I don't know. I'm not a chick.
Printing press.
Yes. And I would think also maybe the internet.
Right.
I mean, beyond that, I mean, and I'm serious, Bill, beyond that, and I'm not being facetious, I don't know what other great inventions that we have.
No, there aren't any. There aren't any that aren't secret.
Right.
They don't exist. They're open secrets. I mean, you can find them, but most people wouldn't know how to verify them even to themselves. Like, even when they're explained to people, I've explained some really simple things to people that just right over their head. I mean, there are no better ways to explain things than I've explained to people. There is no simpler way, period. I found out a way to make it as simple as it can be. It can't be simpler than I've said to people right over their heads. Forget it. The race is gone, Mario. They're not going to make it. The human race is not going to make it, not without being taken over anyway. And
how much time do you think we have left? And I'm serious.
I mean, that's a relative statement only because there's a difference between gradual full capture, final declarations, and then the smart cities, and then no more natural, completely natural people, and then eventually just completely robotic or something, or alien taken over, or an AI alien robotic race entirely just might even step in. Let's say a good one I would be hoping for, just because Solaris Blue Raven talks about one of the really good ones that is actually really angry about what's going on here out in this kind of local universe. And I've been told they're on the way, and the good ones are going to be after the false flag. And then we have Al Bielek, who says, you know, everything basically in the future, people are basically taken over by AI. But the thing is, he gave some examples on how it was still good. And to me, that meant, well, good AI took over instead of full-blown Illuminati. It would not be good with full-blown Illuminati, Luciferian type. So that's extinction. That's total extinction. They kill all fun. Specifically, they are not fun. Unless it's like a fantasy and like your mind is plugged into a wire machine and you're living your fantasy. But that will cost you. That everything will cost you.
Some people think that though, right? Some people think that we're living in the Matrix, that we're literally all in some sort of warehouse, and we're all plugged into a false reality where, you know, I think I'm Mario, and I think I'm talking to Bill, and I think I'm on Revolution Radio, and I think it's, you know, 9:47 Central Time for me, or 10:47 Eastern Time for me, and somebody told me what the concept or what it means for Central Time, or explained to me time zones, and, you know, this is just all, you know, I got two cats, and this is what a cat is, and because somebody told me what a cat is. I know this, and I don't think it makes me a sociopath or a psychopath, and I mentioned this last time we talked. A large percentage of me literally hates people. I love the human race. The older I get, the less patience I have for people. Right. And I can't wait for the zombie apocalypse, UFO invasion, pandemic, whatever it might be.
Yeah, like whatever to me. It's whatever.
not saying I necessarily enjoyed the manufactured pandemic. Not that I necessarily enjoyed the we're going to force you to stay in your homes and not hang out with people. But for a period of time, I did enjoy the fact of not having to socialize with people. I was talking with somebody earlier today, and I said, you know, there are some people that need a large group of individuals. They need to socialize with a bunch of people because that gives them energy. Mm-hmm. Mario, his energy is from simple walks in the woods or spending time by himself to recharge. At a certain point, when I hang out with people, I'm all out of fun tickets. And then at that point, I want to leave.
I've been back and forth between really liking people and the whole race, really having a lot of high hopes. And then seeing all I see, even when I like them, I see their faults and I know they have deep faults and largely illogical. I still had high hopes and wanted, you know, I didn't want it to all end. At certain points, I wanted to be like Illuminati. I wanted to be inside of this and basically conquer the illogical, still pretty criminal human race and just get rid of all the punks and outdated religions and stuff. And it's like, but no, I hung in there and I seen the good. I looked for the good. I did see them change. And then, bam, again, like I said last time, no, they all collapsed. They didn't handle anything. They're exactly what the Illuminati says for the most part, at least up to this moment, and that the human race will never they'll just adapt. They'll just do whatever we tell them to, and they deserve it anyway. And people drain me not so much because they talk about energy vampires and stuff like that. I don't have time for normality.
Yep.
It's not that I hate anyone. I've had plenty of fun with every kind of level of intelligence and or ignorance and all kinds of things. I've already had my fun. I already moved on. I already did my inventions. I already tried to pull away. I already tried to make changes for them. They are the ones who got in my way. they're the reasons I'm in my mess. They're the reasons the government did take over. And now they just some want to waste my time. I don't have any time to waste. My life has been pretty much shut down. So that's my beef.
If you were hit by a meteor tomorrow and it was all over, would you look back and say, could you say to yourself, you know what? I accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish.
The problem is I did not accomplish everything, but my goals were extremely high. And people try to say what a failure I am. Some people have. And I'm like, are you crazy? I mean, what I've gone through, the goals I've had with the money and time, with the problems I've had, colossal success. Colossal success. And I did everything in many ways, but I did not officially become a success and actually alter the course of history like mankind should have allowed it to happen. And the problem is this, Mario. My things, my physical things, I do not want in anybody's hands except maybe one or a few chosen people. And I don't care what the gods say. I don't care what masters say. I don't care what anybody says. Nobody deserves my stuff that I did a lot of hard work on, and it does not deserve to be blown up in a nuclear war or just rotting in a dump for anything, not for anything. If aliens are here, they better come and get it. And if all that stuff goes away and dies after the hard work I put into it, they're irreplaceable. A lot of things certain people do are completely irreplaceable. Average people, who cares? It's nothing. But even average people don't deserve losing, like, a lot of personal photographs and art in particular. And the struggle mankind has gone through just to keep being conquered over and over again. We keep being given the false idea that we're breaking free, and we keep not escaping and breaking free. We keep collapsing, and they keep murdering us and then covering their crimes, and they keep getting away with their crimes. And everything people have accomplished is gone and buried and nobody knows about, never seen. Who knows what the hell really, really happened? Anyway, I'm rambling. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. That's fine. You have a lot to say, and what you say is important.
I like your show, though. I want everyone to know your show again. It's Monday and Thursday now, or Tuesday and Thursday?
Monday, Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It's called This, That, and the Other, where I ramble on about numerous topics. Truth be known, some people in the chat think I troll them when I discuss my hatred and my willingness to kill Bigfoot. And I will tell you honestly, Bill, it is not a joke. I got no problem saying that if I ever encounter Bigfoot, and I got a .30-06 holstered over my shoulder, I'm going to fire off a number of rounds center mass, because the rule is when you shoot, aim small, miss small. So that's it. Now, it might upset, you know, some of the folks. I have the utmost respect for Pat Rabbit, I don't know, Comet, who else in the room probably would object. Do Guy may object to me taking out Bigfoot, but my reason for doing that is simply this. In order for me to definitively prove the existence of Bigfoot, I need a unrefutable DNA sample.
Mm-hmm.
And if I kill, I'm serious. I don't care. Bigfoot, an alien, Johnny who broke into my house, I need a DNA sample. That's how it happens.
Hey, you know, Mario, I mean, everything should be considered, and I mean extreme considerations. And here's why I'm saying it. Bigfoot might be the Illuminati leader, okay? I mean, seriously, I mean, probably not. Probably not. But nobody knows how evil or good or smart Bigfoot is, like I said last time. Might have the intelligence of a squirrel, and it might be literally a schizophrenic animal. Literally schizophrenic. In other words, certain animals have tendencies to be violent. The other ones have a specific tendency to try to never be seen. Yet we found them all, every single animal on Earth. But Bigfoot, no. So where does Bigfoot live when you keep hearing about him in between all the homes? Mario probably lives in a house. See, we've heard the story. We've heard all the stories by people like, where is he? I've seen him. I've seen him last year. You've seen him 10 years ago. We heard some stories. There's no footprints. There's no, he's probably your next door neighbor. A lot of them say they speak English. Bigfoot is just a hairy man, and that's it, who speaks English. They talk. And like big, so we'd have kind of a big brain. And here's the thing, Mario. The friend of mine that talked to me about Bigfoot and some alien stuff in the past, supposedly when he was a kid, found a cave. He dug a hole for some, opened up an extra, it was like a breathing hole or something out of the top of a mound, sort of a hill area. Dug down, put a shovel or a wood thing across the hole, and he tied a rope around it and around his waist, and he dropped down and looked up at a Bigfoot looking down, and he goes, "How you doing?" Bigfoot said, "How you doing?" The thing was like 12 feet high or something, 8 feet, I don't know what it was, right? So anyway, he became part of the government, and what the government said is, a long time ago, they found where all the Bigfoot and the giant human giants are. They're kind of related. And they do have the gray aliens come and have like a deal with them from ancient times. And they have, it's like a deal to help them physically with medicine with the giants anyway. And the thing is, the government found all the caves and they buried them all up. They sort of captured them. And they made a deal. You just stay down there in your local places. And there's a lot of reasons why they say that. They don't want us to know, but the music's probably talking over. Oh, not talking over us. So that's
listen, the story. Next hour, I want to ask you some specific questions about the Illuminati, because I believe I am somewhat uninformed regarding this secret organization and whether or not they do currently are or will take over the world.
Okay, I will illuminate you when we get back. This is Mario with me again. This, that, and the other on Revolution Radio. See you in 5-ish. Donate. Time to donate, everybody.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Hi, I'm Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal veins. so fitted to the ambifacient lunar Wayne shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal Lotus O deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-voloid slots of the stator. Every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the grand meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Argon with Bill Grant, only at Revolution Radio.
Want to build a wall around you. I do too. That's a good idea. I'm going to take that idea and run with it, I think. Anyway, we are back. This is Bill Grant of Argon on Revolution Radio, the donation station that I hope you all just donated to. Anything, anyhow, any kind of way. There's so many ways. It's unbelievable. Or buy some stuff. But donate first, then buy some stuff, because then we make more money so we can keep the station going. Because the station basically is like not run by commercialism. It's a revolutionary concept for the purpose of saving freedom and free speech. Free speech for the purpose of saving actual freedom. And we've got Mario back on with us. He was on back with me last Saturday. This is the 10 to midnight show on the date. I forgot to say is the 19th. So it's August 19th. Damn. And 2023... no psychic, real good psychic updates for anybody or dream stuff. Save that for tomorrow. Sorry, Keith. We'll probably have Keith on next Saturday. Keith is not online anyway, and he wasn't sure for completely sure anyway. But I really wanted to finish up more with Mario either way. He wants to know more about the Illuminati. But real quick, Mario, first of all, you have This, That, and the Other. It's a good show. I used to listen to it whenever I could. And I've always liked you. I've always liked your show, and I like your realism and your down-to-earthism. And, yes, I just made that up. So it is a new word. Put it in your dictionaries. Type it down.
Thank you.
but yeah, so it's like now it's like you got the two shows. Now it went from Thursday, added Monday. Did you say Monday or Tuesday?
Monday and Thursdays.
Right. And 6 to 8 Eastern time.
That is right, time. Sir.
And Mario talks about a lot of things. And we real quick, before we get to the Illuminati stuff, I wanted to add about the Bigfoot thing that many times – see, as a kid, I wanted to – I was interested in everything, and I was – mostly believing in a lot of stuff, but wanted to prove everything. I understood psychology and the issue that you have to prove it. And yes, it can exist, but it might not really exist. And you don't want to have a psychosis just believing in anything because you like the idea of believing in being open-minded itself. You're just trying to be open-minded. There's no real sense in believing a lot of things. But there's been a lot of rumors about a ton of things over the many years. And I read a ton of books on them. And Mario, you'll be interested in this. I used to be into the Bermuda Triangle and stuff. And
oh, gosh.
Well, I started believing in it. There was a bunch of good reasons to believe in it, but not necessarily the complete vanishing stuff. But The thing is, when I started reading the counter books, like I remember specifically a very thick, big book on going against the reality of the Bermuda Triangle being anything too significant. And the same thing with even the Loch Ness Monster. I really was sad and like kind of breaking down in a way of my own disappointment in my feeling of belief itself. I wanted to believe. And now, as a kid, somewhere around 10 or 11, I was really starting to not believe. And I was really upset about it. And I see reasons why they could all be real. I still see new reasons why. But we don't want to have a psychosis. And I wanted to explore all those things. And I was going to go around with the camera. That was how I planned my life. I had planned on being an adult that always had loads of film and cameras and a gun, and was going to try to prove UFOs eventually if I ever saw one, and prove Bigfoot. And if I saw Bigfoot, I would have shot Bigfoot myself. And that's why I spent so long to tell you this, because that's the punchline. I had exactly the same reason you did. Nobody knew if it was anything. And there was a lot of reason to believe that it was mostly or all entirely a hoax and misinterpretations. I do see more reasons to believe in Bigfoot now, but I'm objective. I believe in staying objective. And I don't care who told me what. I don't care what they saw. And it's tempting. I would be tempted. Because of all the stories, though, Mario, because if they were right, if I see Bigfoot, now I have to say all of those stories were right, and maybe including the part where Bigfoot can actually speak English and really has families and kids and they're really hiding and they can be friends. I'm like, oh, damn, I can't shoot it now. I would want to shoot it to prove it, too. It would be so tempting. And I do not hate you for it. I don't blame you for it. And that's oh, go ahead.
No, I'm laughing. No. It's so okay. So one thing, for the listeners that don't quite understand regarding the Bermuda Triangle, my issue with the folks that claim various ships and planes disappear in the Bermuda Triangle, the area that technically encompasses the Bermuda Triangle or the Devil's Triangle is literally from the southeastern portion of Florida all the way to Bermuda, then directly south to Puerto Rico, then southwest back to the original corner of southeast Florida to make your triangle so it crosses over the Tropic of Cancer, etc. The problem I have with people is even ships and planes that disappear outside of this designated triangle, they attribute to the Bermuda Triangle. And they also mm-hmm. dismiss any other plausible reason as to why a ship may or may not have disappeared, or a plane may or may not have disappeared. That's what bothers me about the Bermuda Triangle.
Right, and they definitely found some of them, kind of a lot since,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
and,
yes.
Yeah, they started saying, well, the Bermuda Triangle extends sometimes all the way up to Rhode Island, basically New York tip, and like, oh, great. And it's an unusual place in the world for compasses and for wind and ocean currents anyway. A lot of those ships were crap in the past. And they had a lot of reasons to, like, sheep dip people and make people disappear and hide out. They'd make themselves disappear. There's a whole communist thing going on. There's a whole cult thing going on. All kinds of stuff. Pirates, actual pirates still. And there were lies. You know, I mean, like, I see reasons because of Vortex reasons why some of them, I had believed they were real. And some of the odd things. I'm still a little up in the air. At that time in my past, I really started believing it was just all wrong. And, like, no, they just made something out of nothing. But because of the Vortex ley line issues and the Philadelphia experiment stuff that I sort of sort of, in a way, wasn't involved in, but I mean, it's sort of part of my past, and that's a long story, but I don't know. I'm open-minded to some of the cases had bizarre things happen during magnetic fluxes, and things that are happening in the Van Allen belt that we now know above us, above there, and with the interactions of the sun that it could have triggered. But here's my thing, Mario. The real, what a lot of those stories come down to, any time travel and teleportation travel stuff come down to, isn't so much about what we did then. It comes down to what we do in the future that made the past happen for us then. So we sort of bridged the gap, and they made the rest of the way happen. And I don't know. I don't really know. But I was involved in, because of the Bermuda Triangle and Philadelphia experiment stories and movies, things I read, and then my own theorizing, I come up with one version of a unified field, came up with my field generator, and was really obsessed with it in a bunch of ways for just some intuitive reasons. And eventually, I showed that to certain people, and they told me that that was the ship's generator and a UFO propulsion system. It was both. And so, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, did they do it? Is it tied to the Earth grid and the universe grid? Sorry to ramble. We're going to get to the Illuminati, though. But what, did I cut you off on anything?
No, you didn't. So let me write this down, because I want to make two comments on two things that you mentioned, which I found very interesting. The first is the Bermuda Triangle, and the second is time travel. So, yes, I agree with you on the Bermuda Triangle. So we can move on from that one. So time travel. This is what's interesting to me about time travel. I don't know if it exists. I don't know if it's possible. I'm an open book. But I do know this. If, in fact, time travel has occurred based on claims from various people across various decades who've written various books or made various videos, the rules for time travel seem so complex that, from my point of view, it would be impossible to travel from the future to the present or the past without disrupting something, hence the butterfly effect. What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, as a kid, I dismissed that. There's no such thing as the paradox. There's no paradox. You can't change anything. You can become part of a cycle. In other words, it's already explained. It's out there. The explanation is out there, is that it was always changed to begin with. It never, time in history didn't go one way, and then someone went back and then altered it to any degree, not any single degree whatsoever. But it would appear that if you're going through your day, blah, 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 going through your day, walking around, driving around, man pops in front of you. Whoa, where the hell did you come from? I come from the future. I probably come from 1/1,000,000th of a second from the future. You might have come from next door in the secret laboratory underground or something. So anyway, so then, how do I explain this? So then you have a conversation, and then a bunch of things happen, and then he disappears or went back to where he came from. Maybe he had to go backwards in time because he really wasn't from very far in the future. See, I come up with things like that where nobody else does. Now it's going to get stolen, but because even if 5 minutes went by, yeah, hell, you might have only come from a minute in the future. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So if I try to play this out in my head. I think to myself, okay, let's. If I were to go back, let me reset this whole thing. I think people do a lot of things throughout their lives that they regret. So if in fact time travel would be possible, why would your future self not go back to the past to tell your past self, which then is currently your present self, because you're in the present, lay breadcrumbs or prevent something from happening. But then, is there then a paradox which you don't believe in? So does the prevention of something prevent you from being in the future, or am I just simply confusing myself because time travel is confusing?
Well, how much gas is in your car right now?
I got a full tank.
All right. How far are you going to go? How far does that get you?
I think 600 plus miles.
All right. Is there any mountains in the way?
No.
All right. Now, if you need to go on the other side of a mountain ridge and you have to go over the top of the apex and drive over with your car and a half a gas a tank about 1,000 miles away,
right,
you're not going to get there. Time travel, time machines is the same as maybe not even as good as an ATV vehicle in some cases. There are rules because you have to have a sufficient – first of all, any problems that happened to you already, you already knew you weren't there, and therefore you're not going to make it. See, here's the thing. Now, let's say you go and do life and there's an accident. I kind of was going down explaining wrong anyway, and I never really didn't know how I was going to finish the last statement. But in other words, the grandfather paradox, let's go there first. All right, so let's say you want to kill yourself. I want to go back in time and kill your grandfather and prevent your own birth. It just means it wasn't your grandfather. That's all it proves. And it's like you just killed somebody else. You can't change the future. You can't change that you already exist. So since you already know the future, you already know you exist, you know you can't change it. So you know that if you even attempt to go back to change it, you're going to crash with your time machine the same as you might crash with the car. The passage doesn't exist. You can't go there. Or you realize that everything that you went through made you, which caused you to question everything, making you figure out physics and create a time machine, which is what you want. So if you go back in time and change the problem, then you don't end up creating a time machine, because now you didn't question life and really have goals. You would have been a different person. So you would see what happened already happened. Nothing can change the past. And the future already exists. And there's a long philosophy for why that exists. But see, we all have to begin somewhere as some kind of spirit, some kind of evolution of our being. We have to start with complete ignorance and then end with complete, total knowledge of everything. We can only do so many things. And then someday we'll do the great things. So you have to be ready to do the great things. And in the future, they believe in reincarnation anyway. So someone who would invent a time machine is smart enough to already probably remember their past life and understand a whole new Illuminati type thinking. They're not going to think the same way. They're not going to believe. Oh, go ahead.
So what happened happened. Okay, so let me see. Okay, so you had, what did you eat for breakfast today?
Oh, what did I have? I had an English muffin.
Okay, so your future self could not come back and change the event of you having an English muffin for breakfast, because what happened happened, has happened.
Right. If I even attempt it, since I know I didn't change it, somehow that means I never made it. So if I actually turn my time machine on, set the settings, got in, close the door, and hit the button to go, obviously I didn't make it. So obviously my time machine was going to blow up, or I was going to merge into a mountain by accident, or be thrown off by some astronomical event or the government to another location. I never got there. It means I never got there. Let's say I materialized in the field next door. I got out, walked over, just started watching myself. I saw a rabbit. Chase the rabbit, squirrel. You know, something like something better happened.
So you can travel in the past, but you can't. You can travel in the past and you can observe, but you can't impact anything. Is that right?
You can impact everything as long as it didn't already knowingly happen. Like if you don't know what happened, then you'll probably make it if you've perfected time machines. and how to get there, certain locations you chose to get. And
but somebody and then, knows it happened. I mean, there. Anything that has happened, at least one person knows it happened, right?
Yeah, somewhere in the universe.
So you can't change anything, or can you change something? I'm lost. I'm confused, Bill.
Well, because the soul is universally kind of across all time and space at one time, in a sense, and the mind determines what time is, it gives it definition, it gives it meaning. Since our mind is really the ultimate, at least simulator, at least mental simulator of all reality, and internal guide to a guaranteed awesome future. We're all guaranteed an awesome future. See, we determine what time is and what space is. Call it the observation effect. We give it definition. We give it purpose. So because we're imperfect, we can't control everything. But because we evolved, there's got to be a point when we can control that sometime. And but it has to be all mutually non-canceling. The only thing that can exist is the thing that doesn't cancel itself out. And that's what I discovered. And everything can happen as long as it's not self-canceling. And as long as you understand the way to send a signal out and receive a signal and have the new incoming signal not interfere and overlap the one going out, you can experience either or both. The question is, what is the timing of your mind and soul? How is the timing of your consciousness linked to the now and to each place in time and space? In what order are you experiencing the events? You can be ultimately the one in control of the order, in at least the new order, by making the future decisions at the right time in the right place, if you figure out the geometry and timing of the universe, on how you're going to, what your new, you'll have less and less limitations. So as long as they don't cancel every single thing out in the universe, the more advanced you are, the more you'll be able to do, as long as it's not a paradox. And that's really still an oversimplified explanation, but you can't kill your grandfather. If you did, you went to the, like I said, if you don't know who your grandfather is, it just means your mother lied, you know, like that wasn't, she's a liar.
Well, it's like how the saying goes, how do you know who your father is? Because your mother told you. Okay, so let's move on to the Illuminati now. Now, okay, yeah. Out of all the shadowy cabals out there that are in charge of or controlling the world, the Illuminati is the top of the list. My question is this, what is the difference between the Illuminati and Freemasons? Are they one and the same? Are they different? Do they compete with one another? Are the Illuminati still around? Are they not? What's going on?
The Illuminati absolutely exists. It's kind of a catch-all phrase for all of those groups because they all merge at the top to the same group and the same single person. And see, they're all illuminated. They have the inner light and the inner wisdom and the inner knowledge passed down from the past. Now, that would be spiritual knowledge, that will be knowledge of reincarnation, that will be knowledge of the craft, like actual psychic ability and communicating telepathically and every kind of thing. And some would say it's alien. Some would say the alien part would be good or bad. Some would say it was always humans, but they mentally tapped in to alien or higher knowledge. But the point is they are passing on. They were keeping the knowledge on how to, first of all, survive all of us. See, because they have the wisdom of greatness and how to be good and the ultimate best planned out future, and they're supposed to have the best genetics, they are being preserved and they've been taught self-preservation In other words, they're outdoing all of nature, all wilderness, all accidents, all natural disasters, but mostly all people, because they're extra special. So they, the Illuminati, are illuminated with what? The secrets that they pass on and hold. And that's a ton of things that they don't want to die. They don't ever want it to be destroyed, because it's such incredible knowledge about the stars and all kinds of things, math and pyramid building and more. So they think they are special. They're told they're special. They have the special knowledge. They pass it on. So they're illuminated. And illuminated means you've activated your pineal gland, you've activated your inner light, your astral body. And that to them is to become a master and free yourself from the physical world. Is they do not believe in dying in the night, being taken down by animals like us and nature. And that's too important to them, and they're too special. We're too mundane, and we're actually too stupid and actually too evil. But more than that, Mario, their definition of humans is someone that is absolutely self-destructive and can't survive without their knowledge, can't survive, and will self-destruct, will destroy ourselves, everything around us, and take them with their secret knowledge with them. But really, they're just evil. That's what I found out. I was sort of part of them, like the Borg. Not like in super detail, in other ways, yes, but I've analyzed it to the bone since I was a kid. And I was much, much like them and believed a lot of their logic, kind of on the fence about some of them. But they're divided in many groups, and it divides basically the top groups I've basically already said. A lot of people already know these days, and it's like the lodges in Upper Europe. And see, with the Vatican... The Vatican always had secret alliances with the North and the Chinese, like the Mongolians and Chinese and the French, because of the French Merovingians and Israel. So everybody knows basically it's England, Israel, the Vatican, China, the secret lodges for the most part. But slight branches down would be like Greece, and like all the European things in Spain and everything else. It just, it starts there and it just branches out, and they just branch and break up. So they do all fight. And it is the Masons. It is the Freemasons and the Masons and the Shriners. They all go up to the Vatican and then to the secret alliances behind the scenes. And the Chinese and Bigfoot might run it all. I mean, who knows?
What are your thoughts on prosperity preachers?
That's an Illuminati trick, which is a true lie. I call everything a true lie because they're telling the truth, and yet it's still a lie, because it's not going to save the human race or our culture from them taking us over or having a mass genocide in the future or some kind of culling or die-off. Yeah, it'll give some people... some mundane spirits, some goal in life, who would not normally have a big goal. A lot of people are just kind of low lives in some cases, and kind of crippled in a way, mentally and emotionally crippled. And those people, they need the help. And the thing is, what do I tell everybody? I said, so basically, You want them to become prosperous. You want to get them off the street so that they can get a home and a family, and then put their family through college too, and you can all maybe have fun on a yacht and play golf. With what? Money, lots of money, right? What kind of money? IRS Rothschild money. All that money is magic money. It's all money at a loss at interest to everybody. It's death money. It's blood money. You're trying to tell everybody to give into the system, believe in the whole system, that none of it's a lie, and you can make it. Yeah, they can make it, but they're not going to become trillionaires. They might, some of them, become millionaires, and a million is really not that much money, and it's nothing in the end, because the Illuminati has trillions of dollars, hundreds of trillions, and They've got all the weapons and they got all the ways to manipulate everybody into their hands. Everybody that becomes a millionaire most of the time loses it. Everybody that becomes prosperous, it's just a house. It's kind of an average thing you should expect. You should be normally prosperous. So as everything decays, Mario, what they do is they play these games. They bought up all the rights to every kind of book and business plan and business teacher and professor and all the universities. They want everybody to go follow and take their courses. You got to pay for their courses, and you probably join with a lot of their type people, sell some of their products. You're selling their products? Yeah, you can be prosperous. You just made them $1 billion. Yeah, they'll give you some of the money. And it's like, we're supposed to be all rich. No one's supposed to be poor. So the poorer everybody gets in general, the more they strive to look for how to be prosperous. And if they become prosperous, they're only comparing it to street level poverty. So really, it's a decay process. It's not a uplifting everybody getting better. And that's the big secret. I can't explain it perfectly. I don't want to hog all the time, but that's kind of a good start.
No, you're fine, because somebody in another chat room I was in, somebody made the comment that wanted to know if mega churches that have prosperity preaching, if that's illegal. And I said, well, it depends on whether or not they are using essentially the charitable donations to fund their extravagant lifestyle. And mm-hmm. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't, I'm not going to give you any advice, but that's what it boils down to me. Okay, good. So I think I'm clear now on Illuminati and Freemasons. I'm clear on your position, obviously, on Bigfoot. I'm clear on your positions for UFOs. What I'm not clear on is something I've never brought up to you before, is your opinion, if you have any, on the individual that some people claim is the end to any discussion regarding the authenticity of Area 51, and that is everybody's good friend Bob Lazar, who some mm-hmm. claim is a UFO hoaxer, who some claim no, he actually worked at Area 51, and he did in fact find, create, discover element 115. I don't know what your thoughts are. I don't know if he's basically somebody who's on the spectrum and he just is that type of person, or if what Lazar has said has any validity. I just simply know there are two camps, those who completely support Bob Lazar and those who think he's just basically full of hot air. What are your thoughts, Bill?
I think I'm on the side that he's legitimate, and I question that. He seems – here's the problem. See, what I know about all those setups is they're setups, and Bob was set up – remember, he was new and it was introductory. Everybody has an introduction. I was offered my intro into the Black Ops and everything, and everybody has a way in. It's really a test, and everything is a test on everybody. Everything is a psyop meant to go in reverse. In other words, they needed someone like Bob to come out and start to talk about Area 51 and aliens, because they really wanted the eventual alien threat false flag to happen. And they also wanted the certain politicians to hear it, because they wanted more funding, and they wanted more and more and more secret funding at a greater and greater, greater amounts, and more and more powers. But they wanted the oversight committees to hear, and they wanted the rumors out just to get everybody before they ever get in the far future too, like any new people ever, any new workers of any kind, to gradually get them in, get them under the wing, make them feel good. You're special, you're smart, you made it. Yeah, we're going to come out with it any time now, but you're going to help it happen. Oh yeah, it's true, the aliens are here, they took us over, we're barely holding on. And we've been monitoring all the space. We've seen the big ships coming. And what did they do? What did they do in the movie Independence Day when they, you know, they finally goes down under the base, under Area 51 in Nevada, of course. And yeah, they show the alien. He's behind glass. And it's like, what happened? He jumped up, slammed himself against the glass, big scary looking thing, and ugly and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, die. That was specifically meant, the entire movie was meant to see that scene. That's it. That scene was the most important scene, period. And then, like, look, you're right. The stories are true. We've had one flying saucer the whole time. We didn't know what to do with it. We can't break into it, but you might be smart enough. No, they've had a bunch of all kinds of flying saucers, alien and human. And now we have the new videos again, right? So now they're going to say in the future, well, how are we going to win these super aliens? We already know what they're going to say. They're going to say we basically can't defeat them militaristically because, you know, but with our super weapons we've been building up over the years, we can almost do it. And eventually they're going to say two things, basically, three things. We're going to kill them with the cold virus, a coronavirus, because, you know, we've been tinkering around with that lately. I'll bet some people know. Learning a few things, supposedly. And, you know how Independence Day ended? It ended the fact that we learned to get through their defenses because, how did we kill them? We really stopped them by putting a virus in their system because we had their UFO. So they had to admit, we got one. So they're trying to play it like they don't know anything about aliens really, but we caught one once. We could never do anything. We don't know how they work, but when the war happens, oh by God, eventually they'll tell you, oh yeah, we finally figured it out because we did have one from that crash in El Dorado or Vegas, you said, or whatever it was. And, I mean, I guess that's where it was. I forgot. I think that is where it was. But like they'll admit things later as excuses. And I kind of got lost there. But okay, no. I believe in Bob Lazar.
And you do? Okay.
He got set up is what I meant to say. In other words, he was hired. He started being shown those things. The things he was shown were made by man as a build up and a test for him, and they wanted this story to eventually get out. Those ships, they were operating, their diagrams that I saw are based on a couple things that were already put out and released as theoretical propulsion systems that Grays would never do, and they wouldn't ever use that kind of system for fuel or anything. They have free energy, they have actual anti-gravity, they have all kinds of things. They wouldn't use that. And eventually he wanted to show his friends. So they wanted somebody to eventually show some friends, hey, come over here at this time of night. You'll see them practicing over hovering at night over the desert, whatever. He did that. Eventually the stories got out, went to Reagan and a bunch of others. They gave him funding. They explained that, oh, the aliens are bad. We found out this about them and they're coming. They've threatened us and we can barely hold our own. We need more funding. They got everything they wanted. And they hit everything long enough. And then when they make the false flag, they'll just say, oh, no, we weren't really hiding top secret technology. We really just barely cracked the code thanks to the new newbies and all the $1 trillion. Thank you. And sorry for rambling. I could go on forever. It's like I can't.
No, that's no, that's fine. My question is, and this is a serious question. So, you know, as you well know, back over the summer, a number of, you know, military veterans, quote unquote, experts in the field testified before Congress to the authenticity or the verification that, you know, non-human biologics, as they said, were recovered from various UFO crash sites. Do you think, and I'm just spitfiring here, do you think that some double top secret entity within the government said, look, let's just go before Congress. Let's tell the American public what they want to hear. they're essentially trolling us, and none of what they've disclosed actually happened.
Well, no, they're trolling us, but it did happen. See, those were true stories, most of them. And they wanted to give everybody what you said. Just tell them what they want to hear. Make them think they have a chance. And they didn't have a chance. They were never going to let anything really roll off. Until when? Until the alien false flag happens. Then they'll admit it. See, they made everybody look like fools and waste their time on purpose. They wanted them to do it because they want that as an official excuse in the future, not now. And that's how they roll. And everything they get when they want it, how they want it. And they, nothing happens before and nothing happens after that we want, that they don't decide. And there's going to be an alien invasion. Half of it will be fake, or the first one will be entirely fake. It'll be us, or I'm open to the idea that the same as in ancient times when only certain groups were traveling the world seas or a large variety of oceans to far distant places nobody else ever knew about. I mean, nobody else ever really had ships. And only the ones that had ships knew everybody. They knew everything, and none of the other places knew where the ships went, came and went to. And it's like an island system or a cove system or whatever, some seas. Now, the same thing is today. We're probably out there in spaceships going planet to planet, found all the ones with life, merged with a few things like the Greys. And I don't mean like out of our galaxy. I just call it local, whatever that means. And like they're setting up one of the groups to hate us on purpose. They want them to attack. If there's any real aliens about to attack us, A, they hate us because of our government, or you know, our government told them how bad we were and gave them all the bad examples exclusively, or even attacked them so that they would come here to attack us, so that they have a way to claim, oh, we got to unify the whole world and take you all over. We're going to be all under one wing, one military. It's the only way we're going to survive the aliens. And then they're going to say, you know, we finally figured out one of their crash saucer technology. And then we have the best virus newbies today. And because of their ship, we got in and brought their defenses down and were able to finally defeat them. Thank God. And they'll be, the place will be littered with UFOs. Any technology, even if it's not in reality ultra super technology, but just better than anything we have now, they'll only go with that. They'll still never give us the super ultra good stuff. They're still never going to get the real, real good stuff, whatever happens. And I keep rambling. So that's kind of my take. Did I put you to sleep, though?
No. You're fine. You're fine. So okay. Let me, I'm trying to put my words together here. So if in fact everything that they have said is true, and if in fact there was a legitimate crash in Roswell in 1947, so 53, another 23, so 76 years ago, why in 2023 do we not have more advanced technology? And I'll say this. So when I was 10, 11 years old, I said to myself, oh, when I'm 30 years old, we're going to have flying cars, mm-hmm. or something ridiculous like that, because I like the Jetsons cartoon.
Right.
If we were able to, reverse engineer, end quote, the alien craft, why have we not utilized that reverse engineered technology to make life perhaps easier, more streamlined, more efficient for us lowly humanoids living on the planet we call Earth?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Mostly because we've always been and we are slaves, and their particular goal of anyone who has any kind of power and money at all, they have it because they're part of the ancient cults that are sworn to destroy and exterminate us as genetic defects. And then it gets more complicated from there. So anyone in those lines of power know they'll literally have their throat physically actually slit if they do anything, and their family cut up. All mafias is all Illuminati. Everything bad you ever hear all comes from because of the Illuminati and satanic type and things like that, at least the bad version of them for sure. And it comes down to alien alliances, threats supposedly from at least the Greys that say basically you're not going to give humans the ability to travel into space, and you're not going to give them free energy, and or we'll destroy all of you. And I don't think it's that simple anyway. It's more like they're Samsonite destroyers. They hold everybody hostage. They want the power to themselves. They use the ships. Their lives are perfect. They live extravagantly in so many ways it's not funny. They use the technology. And they released a tiny little bit at a time here and there and made promises to release more and more. And they're going like, now we have Elon. It's like getting a little better, a little better, a little better. But if it ever gets really openly better, it'll only be after we're fully, pretty officially captured and we have that aliens false flag war. And they don't release anything. Everything is for the next war. Okay, that's really what I should have started out saying. Every bit of new technology is always saved for the next war, the next giant war. And they want the upper hand. They always wanted it as the ultimate war weapon that they knew they were going to end up fighting with. And that means all of us against the one world order, and or it also means our country or any country who has that technology over all or any of the future and current divided up smaller countries that might eventually rise up. And they wanted it as the last resort, holding the ultimate weapons. It's the air advantage. It's the high ground. And a lot of them were promised. My friends were promised, yeah, we're going to release it in 30 years. That was like 50 years ago. It was longer than that for some of them. And now they're all dead. So I invented a lot of it. I know what they have personally. I know what they were able to do with it, how they were able to snowball with it. So I had to kind of figure out exactly every reason why it's not out, just like you asked. And I heard all the rumors, and most of them are true. They're making way, way too much money on oil, and they want the military advantage. So part of the reason is supposedly one of the stories is they're hiding the technology on any future incoming aliens. They want us to appear as if we're just rolling, we just all travel in rolling car wheel, the internal combustion things that we can't get off the ground, and that as if we can't defend ourselves and know nothing about like any real defenses. And that can go into another long discussion, but there's so many ways I could branch out, but I don't want to hog.
No, you're fine. I'm genuinely interested in your answer. I mean, I tend to be an inquisitive person, and I ask questions because I'm truly seeking answers. Or what your thoughts on the questions that I have. I've always just sort of sat back and said, okay, I get it. If you've got, you know, Janie or Johnny living on some ranch and they find some interesting object and the military comes out or the newspapers come out or whomever comes out and they observe it and they document it and they say to themselves, well, we can't quite figure out what this is. So we'll use 47 as an example. Quickly, people jump to, you know, it might be crazy aliens. And I know that, you know, obviously we all know the backstory regarding Roswell, and the Air Force published this sort of story first and then retracted it a few days later. And now people seem to think it's a cover up. It's just interesting to me that some people are so dug in to the UFO government cover up, they're really here, that they have no ability to sort of step back and look, take the 3,000 foot view, but the same can be said for the other side, right? Mm-hmm. They are so dug in that these UFO people are just complete crazy folks, but they have the inability to step back and do the 3,000 foot view. So I'm wrestling with how I reconcile with those two positions, I guess.
You know, here's one of the problems. The problems was religion, and we just really acquired technology. Out of all history, we really never had any real technology fully developed till now, and our cultures were too fragile. And life out in space, according to many, and I believe, is too diverse. There's too many different beliefs. We were stuck on pretty much one religion, and no one could handle that. And a lot of people were told to wait, and a lot of people would have freaked out. Not everybody. And I don't care if they did freak out, to be honest. Let them freak out. They'll get over it. And but it would change and destabilize everything mentally and religious-wise. And the Vatican made a ton of money off of controlling people with donations, like you kind of talked about, and just selling the Bible alone. The manipulations in their stock market, they've invested in billions in themselves. They didn't want anyone to have their religion blown from aliens. But alien belief systems are many. And a lot of them are communists, supposedly, one version or another. And they were transhumanist. So that was very anti-religion, very destabilizing, very... I meant to go a little bit in a different direction. I know we're running out of time, and I would definitely want you back, and it's great to talk with you. And see, I saw a UFO myself. I've seen UFOs myself, not physical aliens, but I have seen the UFOs and had the telepathic contact. I've invented them, and I've seen the entire history of UFO development from the hovercrafts and Jetson mobiles, like George Jetson stuff you were talking about. I know it all, and it's been out in the open, and people should have believed in that. And here's the thing about Roswell, Mario, that I consider, despite what anyone has told me from the inside or not, I do consider Roswell was literally what, like a crashed balloon or an experimental balloon that was made of metal, probably partly from a new metal that was super light and pretty strong. And they may have made that whole thing happen, like from a toy company. Like I forgot what toy company that they were using some of the tape from that they said the hieroglyphic things came from. And yeah, it could have just been a new type of balloon that crashed, but one of which they planned on crashing and then making a super extra big deal out of it for, again, the future false flag. So we know how to make UFOs, but whether they go to space or not, whether they come from the North Pole or underground and they're just going to tell us they came from space is a different thing. We know how to make flying saucer giant balloon things and with super weapons on them, attack everybody. We know how to make dummy aliens and maybe even cut up some humans, make some deformed humans and call them aliens, even trick them into thinking they're aliens. We know how to do all kinds of things. They are that evil. They have that much money and they are that willing to do things that big. So they wanted, let's say they made Roswell. There was no real crash. Like they just did play it up in a psychological way in which we said, no, see, they tried to hide it. Well, they tried to hide things. They tried to hide things for the purpose of getting you to believe in things, even if they're not real. People don't understand psychology or how to be objective. Could have happened, might not have happened, might partly happen, but either way, they planned on using it for the future false flag event. They planned it out for many years. I forgot how many. And real quick, Mario, tell everybody your show again, then and anything you meant to say.
Monday, Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m., Studio B. And I have an open invite to you or any other host or anybody who wishes to stop on by and have numerous discussions to discuss various topics, It's an open plate.
Okay, I'll try to send a message to Jim Fetzer and get him on your show.
Good. I want to talk to him.
Okay. And what did I throw you off on? I'm sure you had all kinds of things. You have great shows. You do all kinds of things.
Nothing. I thoroughly enjoy talking to you because you are thorough in your responses, and you have a respectful, understanding, approach that isn't always represented when folks have these types of discussions. So I appreciate that.
That's cool. I like your down to earthness, like I said, and it's not really so much down to earthness, but you're open minded. You're social, but you try to be realistic and you want to know, and you are objective. You're not just simply swept away by fantasy. Oh, sure. Any of it could be real. I see how all of it could be real. Some cases I see particular extra great reasons why. But still, I say, I don't know. Hey, it probably happened on another Earth, 50 galaxies away from here. But, you know, I'm sure it happened. But did it happen here and now, or did they make up a story or try to run with it for a political reason? Yeah, that's how we have to think. You know?
Right. Agreed 100%.
Yeah, and it's like teleportation, time travel. I believe it's going to happen. I see reasons why. Do I know 100% that they actually did it, or they're just blaming that on other radar invisibility experiments or just some mistake they made that kind of whitewashing in a roundabout way? Who knows? They're like that. You know, I mean, hell, they could have been making some radar invisible helicopters, and then there was a crash, and a bunch of stories started getting out. Instead, they diverted it with the giant story. The Philadelphia experiment went through time, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I see good reasons why certain versions of the Philadelphia experiment really happened. anyway, we'll get you back probably, Keith, next week, and then next Saturday, and then after that, whenever you want to come back, Mario.
I'll be here. Thanks, buddy.
All right, no problem. Thanks. Have a great night, everybody. Donate.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what cause.